you have decided to catch up on the Kennedy Molloy Drive Show. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Molloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Molloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
G'day, Mick. G'day, Jane.
Here
g'day,
we
Dave.
Go, muchachos. Mm. Let's get
Here
ready to rumble. Big Thursday show. We're all couldn't be happier to have Darryl Braithwaite.
Yeah.
Joining
hey,
us. He's got a new single out.
I'm happy.
Out. I'm
you,
a big
you
fan
better be
of
respect.
His, big,
I beg your pardon.
Big fan of his work, of his solo work.
You better be
you
respectful.
Have
you have
I
slammed him.
Don't put that on me. I've always been.
We're going to uncover it.
Yeah. His corp. Hey, there'll be plenty of that. Charlie Pickering will also be joining us.
Well, that's good. He's going to play too. The most insane clip of David Guetta, who is the producer, doing
this.
A remix of Martin Luther King's speech. You
DJ
will not
nice.
Believe it. It's a little bit of a misjudgment.
It's tone deaf, I believe. Is the word
tone deaf. Okay,
interesting. Out there. Hey, we've got Apocalypse Watch, of course, which is full of stories. Mm. Yep. There's a second wave on the way in America of coronavirus. And we're also going to ask why Australian kids are so dumb.
Is it dumb? Not dumb.
No,
they can't jump.
Or physically,
yeah, physically,
they can't.
Yeah. They can't jump as far as they could about in the 80s.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you, and you have a think about it now, what else can't your kids do that you used to be able to do?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Keep
yeah, I've
clean,
got a few
people.
Up my sleeve.
What's
yeah.
not coming back will be here. Gone Wild.
Oh, Gone Wild.
Is it Gone
right.
Wild?
Yeah, it's
it
today.
Is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I love Gone Wild.
I've got a beautiful dolphin
I love
story
animals.
That made me cry.
Oh,
good. You know,
beautiful.
Dolphin's the only animal I don't like. Dolphins and whales.
I still
dolphins
think
are adorable.
You're just doing that for comedy long. Purposes.
I'm
yeah.
a porpoise man. Yeah. Always have been, always will be. Mm.
That'd
hey,
be right.
We'll get into it, but let's start at the top. And
all right, there's a lot to doubt. There's a lot to unpack.
Don't get started with Daryl. Don't you get started with Daryl. Don't mention.
I am going to tell Daryl how disgraceful you have been
he's
over
a national
the
treasure.
Years.
Well, he is a national
saying
treasure.
He shouldn't be twice in the Hall of Fame, once for Sherbet and once for himself.
I said he should be in for Sherbet.
Yeah.
I said twice you're not agreeing with. You agree with Sherbet.
No.
You slam him.
My thesis.
You said one day you wanted to fight him.
I agree with James Rain on this one. So
oh,
James,
no, see, don't you bring James
bring
Rain
in,
into
right.
it. What's James Rain got to do with
it? I think
he
was the one who came in and said he shouldn't be in there for
he
solo.
He did not.
And
you
I
made
may
that
have agreed.
You are, again, stop making enemies of the show.
Who was a better king of pop, James Rain or...
James Rain was never king of pop, you idiot.
Oh, well, someone seems to know what they're talking about.
Yes, someone does seem to know what she's talking
about. Who were
the
about. King of pops then?
John Farnham.
Ray Burgess.
Yeah, probably.
Mark Holden.
Yes. Mm. And then they just stopped it.
Dave
and Daryl Braithwaite. No,
JP Y.
John Paul Young.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if that was still around, I would be king of pop after the launch, after my launch last night of my new cover of a Puddle of Mudd's cover, of Nirvana's cover.
Of the original.
Of the original.
About a girl.
About a girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's been extraordinary comments, but first, I would like to read out the reaction of Australia to your amazing hit. I think we should revisit and listen.
Let's have a listen.
All right.
You remember where you are.
Okay, here it is.
I'm standing in the I do hope you have the time. I do pick a number two. I do keep a drink with you. I'll take advantage while you hang me out to dry. But I can see you every night, Mickey.
Wow.
Dear
God.
That's the cowbell version.
Yeah.
I went back into the studio with Maddie and we added some cowbell just to beef it up. By the way, you probably
didn't
need to
help
hear,
it.
You probably need to hear Puddle of Mudd's covered for that to make any sense. Otherwise, I do just sound like a
people
a demented
have. Can
man,
I just read some of the comments?
Well, sure. Now, you're going to selectively do this, aren't they? Because there was so much positive feedback. Thank you, everyone.
Not really. No. Yeah. Here's an example of one of the millions of comments. Michael Palozzi says, I'm of Italian background. And my family used to kill a pig every winter to make salami and sausages. The poor animal used to sound like that when the butcher slaughtered it for us.
Okay, so one. You got
Kim
one.
Robbo says, if COVID-19 could sing.
Oh, don't. Do you know what?
There's more.
Yeah, yeah. What else you got?
Gary Goo says that will definitely go down in the anal music history. Well played, Mick.
Can I just say this? Now I know how Taylor Swift feels. That the haters.
Oh, you poor thing.
They come for you when you put your heart and soul into something, and then they just.
Damien Pitt says, "Not how I'd do it, Mickey."
Boothie says, "Sounds like a dog dragging its nuts over sandpaper." Oh, my ears are bleeding.
Okay, look, some of the criticism has been
sure
divided.
It's all like that.
Hey, anyway, look, it's all there. I'm going back in the studio. I'm going to do Wonderwall.
Are you?
I'm going to do Wonderwall. I'm going to do Hallelujah.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. Why?
It's like an album coming.
Fields of Gold.
Oh, Sting.
Yeah, I'm going to get enough
Don't you dare do Fields of Gold.
I'm going to do it.
Lay off that beautiful song.
Nah, I'm going to do it.
Don't you. I'm not going anywhere near it.
I remember when on the fields of barley.
Are you all right? You've got front bar tonight.
I am. I'm on.
Yes, you're on tonight.
I better knuckle down.
Don't be silly like that on national TV, will you? It's all right to be stupid on national radio.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of it in just a moment. Hey, we're coming back with, Apocalypse Watch and some other big news.
Huge. And by the way, all our callers that come through today, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but we're giving away a $10,000 Tempur mattress.
Bang.
Oh, yeah.
So you call 3133353, you get on the air with Mick and Jane, and we'll put you in the drawer tomorrow.
It's the Captain Fufu of beds.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's a game changer.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Daryl Braithwaite to join us in about 10, 15 minutes from now. Charlie Pickering in the second hour as well.
Playing my version
of
About a Girl to Daryl's.
Daryl.
I don't want to do that.
It's
bad enough. Work. No, it's bad and embarrassing enough.
Mark's on the line.
You've behaved.
Mark.
Hey, Mickey, love your work.
Thank you. You enjoyed my version of About a Girl?
Oh, I loved it. I'm actually thinking that you should do a greatest hits album.
Okay, what would you have on it?
Roxanne from The Police.
Oh, put it in.
Really?
Mark? I would absolutely serve that up on a platter.
Mark, I'm calling out. You're a New Zealander, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's obviously something wrong. You haven't grown up with Mick and his. Are you actually impressed by this? So I don't know how long you've been familiar with
Mark,
his work.
Case of Brick Lane coming your way.
Yeah, you could also put in maybe Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Okay.
Oh, that's enough, Mark. Yeah. That'll do.
Hello, Mark. Maybe you want to come along and have a look at the recording sessions.
Mm. Oh,
I'll introduce you to Matty. He's my producer.
Jesus.
He's like my Colonel Tom Parker, too.
Does Matty know that?
Yeah. Matty's not.
Matty
was appalled he was named.
Yeah, he didn't want to put his name to anything to do with the record.
All right,
he doesn't.
No. Well, let's get on with it. Hey, before we get into Apocalypse Watch, every time something, Jane, comes across our desk, that we go, God, I love Australia. I really love the way we operate. When you see the carnage that's going on around the world at the moment, and, you know, we're under a lot of pump and there's a pandemic floating around, and every so often Australia reminds you of who you are, and where you fit into things. And earlier today, Scott Morrison held a presser in New South Wales. And in the middle of it, he's standing on some guy's front lawn. And the homeowner came out, saw him. And anyway, this exchange ensued.
10,000 Australians.
Can everyone get off the grass, please?
Sure. Let's just move back from there.
Hey, guys, I've just reseated that.
Yeah, please, thing.
Sorry, man.
It's all good. Thanks. And I was talking about the first home loan deposit thing.
He's about to make a major announcement.
That's awesome.
A major bit of business. Yeah.
And he comes out in his leisure wear, by the way.
He's not wearing any shoes.
No shoes. He's got trackie. He's basically in trackie dacks. And ScoMo, to his credit, gives him the big thumbs up.
Well done, ScoMo.
And stays calm about it goes, yeah, fair enough. Yep. I'm on your front lawn.
Now, contrast that to Donald Trump gassing his own people and shooting them with rubber bullets so he could make his way across the lawn of the White House to a church for a photo op. That's the difference, people, between our great country.
Yep. Welcome to Australia.
Yeah. Here's go. Welcome to Australia. Get off my lawn, mate.
Love it.
I just reseeded that. Oh, sorry. Thumbs up. Okay, time for Apocalypse Watch.
We interrupt this program.
My message is,
how dare you?
Apocalypse Watch.
This is not a test. Kennedy Malloy's Apocalypse Watch.
And can I begin by just saying, everybody, congratulations, Australia. You have officially been rated the world's best panic buyers during...
Yay! Congratulations.
Pandemic. We've been out Spain. Who'd we been out? Spain and the UK, I think.
That's enormous.
Yeah, we did.
But we were head and shoulders above the rest for panic buying, for punching on in supermarket aisles. Well done.
They found out in a very clever way. They just analysed Google searches in the countries. So toilet paper and supermarket opening hours were researched. And that's how the University of New South Wales did this survey and found out that Aussies did it. You know what, though?
What?
I think we did it in a great binge way, and now we've calmed the farm and stocks everywhere. I've just been to the supermarket this afternoon. You can get everything. There's
Someone sent me, Paul Collegia, friend of the show, sent me a picture yesterday from a supermarket on the toilet paper aisle. Toilet paper, half price.
Oh, see.
Hey?
They got excess stock.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
We're back.
Everything's fine, except, you know, you still social distance at your supermarket and all that palaver you got to do, and it takes a very long time and you get a bit uptight waiting, but anyway, everything's fine.
Hey, when we say we're back, can we just bring this to you? We've been watching this for the last couple of weeks, what's going on in America, and the thoughts cross our mind, oh, this is not going to be good for a second wave of coronavirus and the pandemic.
No.
Because we've been mulling this over, and you see them all, and so the 80 biggest cities in America...
Yeah.
have all had protests by day, riots by night.
Right.
People in close proximity to each other, yelling at each other, shouting at each other.
Yep. It's crazy.
And we're going, this is not going to be good. We'll know in about 10 days. It takes 2 weeks.
It's 10 days, is it?
Yeah, well, it's about 10 days to go.
About all the guards, you know, those, whatever they're called now around the White House, the National Guard, arm in arm?
Well, listen to this. I was watching CNN today. And they had a Dr. Jonathan Rhines on. Now, he's from the George Washington University Medical Center. And if you think this, as Jane's tipped on here, if you think that a bunch of people in close proximity is enough to do it, have a listen to how America has wrapped up the possibility of this going cocoa bananas on their own people. Have a listen.
Very little social distancing in the crowds. The ability to transmit even through masks. Through very close distances. When I look at the police and particularly the troops, very few of them are wearing masks. That's a big concern to me. What does tear gas or any of these pepper sprays make you do? They make you gasp. They make your eyes tear. They make you want to rub your eyes. And we tell people during the pandemic, try not to touch your eyes. That's a route of virus into your body. So if you already have the virus, then you're going to spread it via cough. If somebody else has it and you're coughing or taking deep breaths, there's a lot of virus aerosolized.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So why don't we chuck some tear gas on them, make them touch their eyes and cough on each other?
Yeah.
Well,
that is terrible.
America.
A perfect storm.
Well,
speaking of masks, they are going to come in handy in another area of life, I'm afraid to say.
What are you talking about?
Well, Harvard, you know, there's one reason they've got the brains behind what they do at Harvard University.
Right.
What?
Having sex carries some risk, obviously, for transmitting COVID-19.
Right.
So Harvard is recommending wearing a face mask while you have a root.
Oh, thank you.
Like a face mask?
Have a face. So put on a mask on you. Woohoo. You know.
And on your face. So,
you're wearing two masks, basically.
I don't wear a mask. I like to wear one of those hats with the little beer cans on the side. I'm going to wear one of those. And socks. I'm going to keep my socks on.
You can't breathe all over someone.
I'm going to keep my socks on because
Keep your socks on.
Ladies love that.
Wow, how hot. Yeah, women love that. Yeah, so much.
That's just terrible. What are you going to keep what on? Keep your mask on.
You've got to keep a mask on while you're having sex.
I'll tell you when we come back. We're going to take a break. 133353 if you want to add something. When we come back, what's not coming back after coronavirus and other issues?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Darryl Braithwaite, legend, Hall of Famer, coming up in the next few minutes. Charlie Pickering in the second hour as well. And just a little warning for those little ears out there. Some discussion might get a little bit adult in the moment. So you might just want to turn the radio down or skip the podcast.
Check out some Smooth FM.
That's it.
Hey, Jane, you've just mentioned the previous break. What was the story that we've now been encouraged to have sex with masks?
Harvard University. Harvard University is recommending that if it's someone you don't know, clearly not your partner, but if someone you recently hooked up with, perhaps for some time, you might want to wear a mask.
Mm.
I think you're going with a mask and snorkel.
And mask, what's snorkel, the snorkel for?
Snorkel. Oh, yeah.
Well,
no,
flippers for social
very
distancing.
Breathing on people.
Yeah. But the
what a lot of
snorkel.
Tubes and stuff, though, isn't there?
Gee, that makes awkward sex. It's hard enough. Surely.
Tell me about it. what about those nose clips that synchronized swimmers wear?
Yeah. They have the ugliest look I've ever seen in my life. For girls who spend hours and hours in hair and makeup, it absolutely falls in a heap flash because they got those stupid nose clips.
You go, idiots. Idiots.
Yeah.
Hold your nose. Yeah. Hey, all right, now it's time for a bit of this, I believe.
And now it's time for another installment of
Stop It.
That won't be coming back after coronavirus.
Sharing a towel on the beach and applying sunscreen to it.
You've been listening to another installment of That Won't Be Coming Back After.
It's going to go away.
Coronavirus.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Where's all the hot sort of bods on the beach, you know, in that searing sun, a bit of that.
Do you mind just putting some stuff
Spain
on my back there?
No, I'll rub it there. Oh, yes, please.
And sharing a towel. I mean, that's a time-honored tradition.
Yeah.
Well, sharing a towel.
What happens to young romance? What's going to happen to all the young people?
What about flicking one of your mates in the ass with a wet towel? I mean, do we have to stop that now? Or?
Maybe.
Well, I'm sure you do. There's a few other things. There's a few other things.
Okay, there are a few other things. We've got some on the line now. We're going to Mandy. Mandy.
Hello, Mandy. Hi, Mandy. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Jane, Nick and Dave. Hope you guys are well, and thanks for taking my call.
You're most welcome.
Very good.
Mandy, you've had to think about this. What's not coming back?
Well, salt and pepper canisters on a dining room table, or something as simple as a sugar container where you pour your sugar into your coffee. Barbecue sauce.
Oh.
The condiments on a table, which we are, the Kennedy family are condiment kings and queens. And in fact, so inspired by in the castle, you will notice that the Kerrigans had all the condiments on the table. That is our family.
Well, my sister
was the production designer.
Yeah.
That is gone now. Sharing sauces, even at restaurants. What about at the Chinese restaurant where you all
The lazy Susan's gone.
The lazy Susan.
Oh, this is a dark day.
The lazy Susan.
What's going on? I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
What manner of evil is this? The lazy
Manny,
Susan. Who's
Manny, we're terrible.
Lazy,
we're putting you.
The lazy Susan of death.
That's right.
We're going to put you. No, that's right. We're going to put you in the drawer for the temper mattress.
The temper mattress.
Yeah, good luck.
And if you are on the temper mattress and you're making love to your partner, face masks on, Mandy.
Yes,
okay? Just remember. Because you'll want to once you see this mattress. Oh, baby. Rod's on the line. Rod?
Yeah. G'day.
Good. Where are you calling us from? What's your expertise?
Well, I'll just let you know, our club president has told us I'm in an exclusive club, and our club president has said when we come with a partner, there's no swapping. We're still in the same room, but no swapping anymore.
You might need to backtrack a little, Rod. Your club president of what?
It's a
swingers club.
I'm
not the president. The president has put the rule in for safety.
You're not the one bringing down the draconian rules.
Can I just ask
you this, Rod? A swingers club, if your president says no swapping partners, doesn't that render the swingers club useless?
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah,
it kind of ruins it. So what happens is now he said to us, we go with the partner and we're in the same room, but we're not swapping. Before you used to see an opportunity and you went for that, but now it's safety-wise, we'll just... Yes,
it's sensible in the new age. Mm. So, you swingers club, you're still having sex with your own partner, but in front of other people. It seems like a fair compromise.
We still have theme nights and things, and still keep it fun. But otherwise,
Rod, do you mind if I ask? I want to ask a personal question first, Mick. Yep. Do you mind?
Oh, go for it, please.
Rod, I'm fascinated by this world. Fascinated. Yep. May I ask your age?
Age, 32.
Right in the zone.
Really?
Right in the hitting zone.
And my partner's a lot older, so she'd be coming on 60. So.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
She's the one who introduced me, so there you go.
There you go. And good stuff. All right. See you there, Rod.
Thank you.
I'll meet you there. Now, that's a fascinating insight into what's
that's
going
a community,
on at the coal face.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Swingers Club in Adelaide. It's going to get a little ordinary occasionally.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to
Joe. You know what it's like, swingers are like? When you, I imagine they'd be like those, you know, the guy got hit in the head? He was in the
water. Oh, no, that's just, don't go
well,
there.
Well, no, it's like when you see people on the nude beach, you go, oh, nude beach, oh, yeah. They'll be full of hotties. And then you go there,
no, they're not.
And it's pot-bellied middle-aged yeah, men from Germany.
Right. There you go. Great. Nudists. Nudists. Yeah. Nudists. All right. Hey, okay, Joe.
Yeah.
This is remarkable, and I think you're correct, for the time being at least. What are you not going to see?
Tinder.
Oh, that people, is terrible.
Like a few of the young guys I work with are on Tinder. They only go there for a hookup, not a date or anything like that. Sure. And they don't believe there is any hookups happening at the moment.
It's a bit quiet out there, is
interesting.
It? People have shut
That's
up
what they're
shop
telling me.
In a pandemic.
But I'm interested that they only go for hookups. So they're not interested in having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking. Again, on Tinder, they said.
Okay.
Your girlfriends right will be exactly the same. Hmm. Couldn't be bothered. Right. Tinder, yeah. Come around. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's going to be the name okay of my dating app. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Hey, all right, you get the idea. When we come back, is it time?
Is it?
Are we going to do it?
Right after this.
I love this guy.
What?
Darryl Braithwaite's coming up.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah. A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're just a couple of minutes away from Darryl Braithwaite, who's going to join. He's got a brand new song, by the way. It's
drops
released
at midnight.
Midnight tonight. It's called
drops
Love Songs.
Drops is a term we use in the music industry.
Industry talk, when yeah. I wouldn't
in,
understand.
Okay. When you've been in the studio.
Oh, yeah, like you have with...
Creating Magic.
Nirvana's About a Girl.
I don't know how to even speak about your musical prowess.
Well, because you slaved away for years with highly suspicious... And they never got anywhere.
So
and I think you're still
you're
a little...
I'm respected in the music industry more than you are. And Darryl Braithwaite respects me.
Come on.
Does he?
I did back him up one night.
In what?
At a gig.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Singing
I
what song?
On. Well, he didn't know. I wasn't supposed to, but I did back him
that's
up.
That's right. The horses. Probably broke into his hotel.
Oh, like Margaret Ehrlich did in the original.
Yes, I did the Margaret Ehrlich.
Wow, that's amazing.
We should play Horses, I reckon, anyway. We'll see how we go tonight.
The version with you in the background, or
yeah. No, that wasn't recorded, unfortunately. Oh. But you know, one day when I tour with Darryl, we'll do that.
Okay, what's not coming back? We're going to keep doing it because you guys just keep ringing with good ideas, and
really
obviously
do.
We've touched a nerve. Rachel's on the line. Rachel, what's not coming back?
Touchscreens. Are they crazy? You know, going into McDonald's, you've got to touch a screen. When you're checking in at the airport, you have to touch a screen. Yeah. You've got to touch screens everywhere. And
that's true.
How filthy are those things?
Well, here's one for you. I reckon voting. Voting the way we vote is going to get very suspicious. Well, I think everyone's going to be encouraged to...
Bring a pen?
Well, to a postal vote. It's going to have to be the new world order. Because in America, it's all touch screeners. Mm. So they're right. Cooked. All right. Thank you, Helen.
Helen, what do you want?
Oh, hi, guys. I want to say The Amazing Race. Isn't
Amazing Race won't be coming back.
While.
Why is that? Oh, yep. Travel.
The TV show. Yeah, they've got to travel all over the world.
Oh, my
Too
God.
Much
that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else is in trouble? Backpacking. What?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
like a time honored tradition for kids
What's
get
happening?
Out there and
this
just
is not fair.
Island hop and jump
that's
around
it.
And go and catch a venereal disease in a hostel
right.
somewhere. It's all.
Oh, where's it fair? The world's gone crazy. Geez. Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen.
Mm. Oh, Janie, I can't believe you've thought of this, but this is fair dinkum, right? Go ahead and tell everyone.
The test is in the chemist's for makeup.
The test is in
chemist
and makeup. Hi, do you want to try a bit of this?
Yeah.
That's gone, you reckon?
I've been racking my brains for days to try and think of something.
Yeah, well, you've got it. And guess what you're also going to get? You're going to get some Brick Lane too.
Oh,
because you've been
racking
your brain for so long, you deserve to get some.
I'll send you a tester can. but Jane, with women, do they have like a lipstick that's a tester?
You'd never put lipstick on. This is pre-COVID-19
days. You're not sharing
days.
A stick.
No, what you do is you put it on your hand, though, and you might then get a bit of it off your hand to find out what the colour is. You would never put lipstick on your lips anyway.
But if you're a clown? Would clowns
Yeah, clowns would. Yes, clowns are foolish enough to do that.
Right, thanks. Greg's on the line. Greg, where the hell are you calling from?
Northern New South Wales, Taruka of all places.
Taruka? What happens in Taruka? What's
the big
tourist
attraction? I'm just looking at all my cows and, you know, I've got my bull, like, screaming at all the cows saying, come to me, come to me.
Hello.
And,
But do you want to hear what I want to say?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Well, it's the AFL Grand Final.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Buddy's just, he's still pulled his hammy. Mm. He's kicked a goal after the siren to smash Richmond for their three-peat.
Yes. Line's
and then he comes to the presentation, all the kids come up and they have to flick the medal to the all the premiership players, and then they have to... all the premiership players flick the hat back at the kids.
Yeah.
Is this a dream you had or what?
No, this is because this is the big part of the presentation. Kids come out, the players bow, and the kids.
Oh, you can't ban the kids.
The kids
pull
the kids
bit.
Do.
Oh, no, the kids, I don't want to ban that.
And the kids are super carriers.
Yeah.
So they're then putting the.
I think I've won the bed.
Well, you haven't won the bed.
For it.
Not even in the hunt for a case of Brick Lane at this stage, Greg.
Greg. Calm the farm.
Right.
I like your enthusiasm,
he's on
Greg.
The farm.
Thank
Good
you.
On you, Greg. Kim's on the line. Kim, what's not coming back?
Well, in keeping with the whole Harvard theme from earlier, I think face-to-face sex is over. It's going to be doggy style all the way.
Doggy
that
style
has been
all
a
the
suggestion.
Way. And maybe to be super safe, with a bucket on your head like a dog as well. So
you've got to be cautious, don't you?
That bed would be really good for the face, you know.
Well, what did Brothels, Jane? The other day, Brothels came out and said they came out and said the safest sex position you can do right now is
the reverse cowgirl, which I googled.
Oh, Jane, you're adorable.
The reverse cowgirl. I don't know how to go into nation. You can imagine what the cowgirl
is. We can
spin it round.
That's right.
Off you go.
Let me work that out.
Okay.
Wave to the stands.
Okay.
And you're off. Now, that's right, because I would understand that that could be as good as it gets in terms
of...
You can't be too safe. That's what I'll be saying to all my partners from now on.
No. Right.
Better reverse that.
Yep.
David's on the line. David, what's going on? Oh, this is a good one. This is a real good one. David.
They should have been banned when they were invented, but fondue.
Fondue.
Oh, my God.
Fondue. Case of Brick Lane.
I am Dembo.
The fondue. Sticking
your
thing in Bolton cheese and pulling it out.
And you associate... drop bits in there, drop your bits, pick them up, use someone else's bits, doesn't matter.
Why do I associate fondue with keys in a bowl? I don't know. Just feels like it should be the same party.
Yeah.
Time for one more. Andrew on the line. Quickly, Andrew, what's your suggestion? What's not coming back?
I reckon edible undies.
Okay.
You think we have a winner. Well done, Andrew. Held. I'd like to see a MasterChef. I'd like to see someone plate up some edible undies,
yuck,
please.
Yeah,
what am I working on?
Ever go.
what world is this?
Imagine Matt Preston's edible undies.
No. Wow.
Huge. Quite the mouthful. All right.
Okay, is it time now?
Yes, Daryl Braithwaite, right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
It's still as exciting for me as it would have been a few years ago to introduce our next guest. He was one of Australia's most iconic singer-songwriters, ARIA Hall of Fame inductee twice, by the way. Yes, and his new single, Love Songs, drops tonight.
I speak
of no other than the great Mr. Daryl Braithwaite.
Thank you, Jane, Mick. Nice to be here.
Still punching out the new music. What's this one all about?
It's love. And when it goes wrong and then you try to get back, how can I rectify this? It doesn't work out. You know, there's tears at the end.
Well, let's hear a bit of it now. Let's have it. We've got a bit of a clip. We're going to throw to it now.
It's called Love Song. Yeah. Okay. I've been writing love songs since we broke up. Guess that it took losing you to make it shine up. And I know it's too soon to try again. We'll mess it up again, but it's too soon to say goodbye. I've been writing love songs.
I've already seen it. I've been writing love songs. I can sing it, baby. Yeah, I love it.
Daryl, you can bring out the tambourine and we're away.
Oh, that sounded really good.
Hey, if you need backup again, remember once I had to do backup. I've improved since then. Now, how have you been coping in ISO? Because you're probably one of the busiest working musicians in the country.
Well, no. We see playing around about February, March.
Yep.
And then I think we might be back playing again in November, if we're lucky.
Wow. So it is a really harsh thing that the music industry has had to counter, isn't it?
Yeah, and a few have gone on the, you know, the streaming and
yep.
and doing all that, which is fair enough. But I've just virtually stayed at home, and I did have plans maybe go away camping up the south coast of New South Wales, but you can't go across the border, so
no.
that's buggered that. But just it's really just stayed at home and talked to, you know, family and
go over your old memorabilia. Can I bring that up? Because
here we go. Jane's going to get you to sign something in a minute. She's been hanging on about this all day.
I'll tell you what, Amanda Keller, who you know and I know, we love, one of Australia's great talents.
She
is obsessed with you, as I have been, and she's put some pretty ripe pictures of the band Sherbet up on her Instagram. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Yeah.
Do you remember posing with just soap suds covering your bits?
Yeah. Yeah, that's but Jane.
Daryl.
Jane, that's really old.
I can't stop looking at it?
You can tell it's the 70s because there's so much hair involved. Good to see you've got a little mullet downstairs as well.
Exactly right, Nick.
Daryl, what the hell? Why did you all say yes? Why did you say yes?
That's all from 1975.
What kind of manager was saying, here, guys, I reckon, get all your gear off and lounge about all over each other?
It was with... You would maybe able to relate to this, Mick and Jane. The end of the day of a big shoot with the very, very good photographer.
Yeah.
We'd done all the shots, you know, with all the flashy gear on. And Roger, our manager, who now manages Pink, he's probably got together with the photographer and they're probably a bit delirious and gone, why don't we get them in the nude? And, of course, we're delirious and we've gone... No problem.
That's what I love about you boys. There was no problem doing it.
Can I just say, Garth Porter's hung like a horse. that's probably where you got the idea for horses, is it?
No. Oh, and he's a Kiwi as well, Mick.
That's amazing.
Hey, by the way, can I just ask quickly, before we get back onto the memorabilia, Jane, I mentioned horses. You got a big decision to make this year because it's such a great thing at the Cox Plate. It's become an institution. It's iconic. Yeah. But if there's a night grand final this year, could you imagine the AFL making a bid to poach you? Because it could well be on the, I think it's going to be Cox Plate in the day, and that's why they're going at night.
Oh.
You could race over and imagine doing horses in
at the MCG.
With everyone seeing horses. Wouldn't that be the greatest moment ever? You could nude up.
Oh, my God. Do you do management as well, great. Mick?
Let's hear it now.
Yeah, let's do it. Daryl Braithwaite is with us. He's got a new song, drops tonight, called Love Song.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
I wonder if people realise. I know because I grew up in the Skyhooks and Sherbet era.
There were two bands
and
in that era, wasn't there?
And I was the only person I knew who was in both camps, which was very controversial. There's a beautiful woman who works with us at Triple M, and her name's Jill. She's a producer. And she was, you know, I don't think people realise how iconic. And it was like the Beatles, girls screaming and chasing you down the street.
Yeah.
And she's admitted to us today that she, in fact, may have done something that now is called officially stalking.
She wants to apologise.
She's
in the studio now. Say hi to Jill. You may have met her. You may have maced her.
Hi, Jill. How are you going?
Hi, Daryl.
I seem to recall that name.
Oh, no. I'm very sorry.
That's all right.
Tell Daryl where it was.
So what did you do? What did you do?
So we were at school and we snuck into the Southern Cross Hotel in the city and we stalked you. We hunted you down. The whole band, and we kept getting dragged out by the security and thrown out all the time.
Oh.
And then we'd find another way to get in. We found the underground car park. It was so much fun. It was like hunting. It was so much fun.
Were you in your school uniform? Tell me you were in your school uniform.
No, we changed in the toilets at the railway station.
Oh, right.
We had to glam up.
Oh, absolutely.
And did you ever meet the band or anyone?
Yes. Well, there was one time we went to a concert.
Should have asked this.
I think it's all right.
So I think we're going down a bad path.
No, it's all right.
Stage.
And you souvenired an item from his dressing room, or was it hotel room?
What was
There was a food tray outside the door. And there was a teaspoon with a little bit of tea in the bottom of it. And I took it. And then a couple of months later, it had all this mold.
Oh, damn.
And one of my friends took a piece of toast.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that would have been garbage.
See, it's all these years later, Jill hangs on to that wonderful memory. You know what's more shocking?
Jill forgiven? Yeah. Forgiven?
Thank God those years are gone. Oh, all those times.
Well, we all remember you as King of Pop. Apparently, it was a reign of terror, according to James Rain. He came on this program and said it was a reign of terror. And do you, he said this, and now you can back this up.
Yeah.
He reckons you still answer the phone as, hello, King of Pop, former King of Pop, Darryl Braithwaite, is that right?
Do you?
No, I sometimes do times three, because I won 74, 75. So. Sent it to Red Simon once, and he's never forgotten it. You know?
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you, Jill, for saying hello. Oh, I don't know what's more shocking, that you boys actually had, it was a teacup outside, they're all drinking cups of tea.
That's a
shock.
It may not have been our room.
I'd get that cup of tea down to forensics.
I know.
Hey, good Darryl.
On you, Jill. Good on you, Darryl. And when can we play
the
song?
You.
Is it tonight?
Tonight after midnight.
And Mick, somebody said that you had a gripe with us or something.
This is awkward.
I may.
This is really awkward.
He may. This is terrible.
I may have suggested, I thought, that you've... It was interesting.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
James Rain started it, and he dragged me into it.
That's rubbish. I'll tell you what.
James Rain said you shouldn't have got your second...
Rubbish.
Your second Hall of Fame because Horses was Mick a cover. And I said, take that back.
Darryl, who do you believe? James Rain or Mick Malloy? It was all from Mick, and he should be apologising to you right now.
We should do a duet together, Darryl.
I've heard it second-hand and third-hand over the last year or so, and I thought...
Paul Kelly's involved too. He knows
Paul
about
Kelly.
It.
Really? Paul Kelly's been involved. Everyone's been involved.
They're all involved. We're all defending you.
Do you know what
we're
this is? It's one of those old rock and roll feuds. We should get together and drink a bottle of whiskey or something.
Darryl, congratulations. Yes. Well done.
Good on you, Darryl.
Thank you, Mick. Jane. Thank you, Jill.
There you are.
Bye.
Love Songs, the new song drops tonight. That's Darryl Braithwaite, and this is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And in the big second hour, we are going wild. It's going to be a beauty, Jane. Give us something. Give us a topic from Gone Wild.
Dolphins
today.
Bringing gifts.
See, I'm a porpoise man. Always have
people
been.
People who have abandoned a cafeteria because they can't go anymore, and the dolphins go, what have we done wrong? Here's some presents.
It's all about
come
the dolphins.
Come and see us.
Take your bottle nose and get out.
Stop it.
Hey,
dare
we're
you.
Also going to talk about the Big Freeze 6, which is a fundraiser for MND.
Yes.
It's a big event, and the Big Freeze is
You're
on
hosting,
this week
right?
in Melbourne. I'm hosting a show
hosting
on Channel 7
it's,
this weekend.
It's one of the best causes ever, and Neil Danaher, one of the heroes of our generation.
We'll fill you in and let you know how you can get a beanie, where you can get a beanie, and all the rest of it. Plenty more coming. We'll take your calls and we'll take your tweets. Yeah. Let's start at the top with friend of the show, who's back, coming to us live from the ABC today. So if it sounds like it's 1956 technology, hello, here I am on Movie Town News. It's Charlie Pickering. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I say, chaps, what an afternoon. I'm reporting to you live from the ABC traffic dirigible balloon above Melbourne.
Very good. How's things at the ABC? All good? House in order?
Yeah, everything's fine, although something tells me that seeing that we've just announced that the budget is in a lot of trouble, that normally means they come for the ABC. So
Okay.
I'm just going to start
Ita
loading up
in
my
her new role. Have you? Sorry, I would say Duchess Buttrose. Have you met her in official capacity yet?
Her Royal Buttrose. yeah. Do you know? Strangely enough, we've got a set of running sketches on our show this year where I have taken on the role of HR manager of the ABC and have been doing performance reviews for various network personalities.
Yes.
And I wrote the most formal email of my life to Ita because I hadn't spoken to her since she joined the ABC.
Yes.
Asking her if she would be in one of the sketches.
Wow.
And it was funny.
What was the reply?
Well, what was funny was... I wrote that email literally on the day that the country went into lockdown with COVID. Like, I sent that first thing in the morning, and then everything shut down. It was like staff were sent home. Planes dropped out of the sky.
Yes, that's right.
And I was like, I think my email may appear a little frivolous by this afternoon.
And don't take it personally. She may be gun-shy. The last time she appeared on telly, someone threw a Brussels sprout at her. So you can understand if she's a little gun-shy right now.
Here on camera.
Well, let's just say she politely declined to appear in a frivolous comedy sketch with me.
Fair call. Now, Charlie, we know you are a political animal and you keep one eye on what's going on around the globe. I imagine you've been watching America burn with keen interest.
Yeah. You made it sound like it was a spectator sport.
Well, it is. But you know what? When you're in Australia, you get to see everything in the third person. Yeah. So we're in a unique position to get the big picture, to watch CNN, to watch Fox, to see what's happening on the ground. So in a strange way, it is a spectator sport. Get the chisels out.
And you've touched on something, Mick, because there is now, more than any other event like this, we are being shown more angles and more shots of this than we've ever seen before. It's not just every news network in America, because there's 250 ongoing protests in America in like 150 cities, right? That's a staggering number of protests going on. All the local news is covering it, all the national, but then everyone's filming it on their phones as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's so much of it going on, it's almost hard to know what the real story is. That's what I've actually found about this. What we tried to do on The Weekly last night was sift through it all and tell what we thought the story of it was.
Yep.
And the reason that's important, like, and I don't mean to get too serious or dry about this, is when you've got something that there's 10 different angles on it that are all possibly true, it means that politicians can pick whichever angle they like and use that one to exploit it for their own purposes.
That's their narrative, yeah.
So I've got a clip here from Donald Trump in his response to the protests. I'll just let me play this.
Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson.
Now, in his speech, he said that these protesters are domestic terrorists.
Yep.
And overwhelmingly, they're people who are peacefully protesting, but he's going to pick on the small number so he can send in the army and take control of the situation. Mm. And it's a terrifying concept. I mean, it's almost impossible for us to imagine here the idea of the army being put on the streets and to enforce a curfew that we all stay in our houses. Mm. But crikey, that's what the world's greatest democracy is doing at the moment, and
it's hard to watch at times, and you can see it lurch from one aspect to the other. You mentioned all the coverage on the phones and how it is, but I mean, on the other hand, that's why these cops are getting busted now. I think the days of four cops killing a black man are done and dusted because someone's going to get you.
Yeah,
there's
right.
some there's Change. So much coverage. There's so much going on that. You don't get away with much. Hey, can you hold that thought, Charlie? And I'm sorry. I hope you weren't. I hope you weren't about to make a massive point there. But
no. All I was going to say was, and we can maybe tease this a little bit of radio sizzle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I have the solution to the race conflict around the world.
Here we go.
All right. Well, Charlie Pickering is with us. By the way, The Weekly
Donald Trump.
With Charlie Pickering continues Wednesdays 8:30 on ABC and catch up on iView as well.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Friend of the show, Charlie Pickering, is with us, The Weekly. You can get that Wednesdays, 8:30 on ABC and iView.
And very smart of me to come on to promote it on a Thursday.
That's right.
Well done. Good stuff.
So what's happening in six days' time? Charlie, what will you have on the show?
Yeah. Well, hopefully the world is still standing. Yeah.
But you did last night discuss this man.
Yes, this man. And this was my promise before the song was possibly the solution to all the racial tensions in the world. And it is... probably the Jesus we deserve in the moment. Let's say that. The man who will save the earth.
Who is he?
Is a French DJ David Guetta, who, if you're into that sort of thing, is very, very famous and big. He's an enormous name.
Can I say
in the
Titanium
world.
By Sia? You know that song, Titanium?
Yeah.
People would know that. He was behind that. He's behind but quite a few other
Puddle of Mud do a version.
No, I don't think they do. But so David Guetta is a French DJ, and he looks and behaves exactly as you would expect a French DJ to behave. But he wears a slightly too tight fitted leather jacket, some tight pants, and some sneakers that cost more than you make in a year. Now, So anyway, when all of this started to go down in America, he did what any sensible person would do. He would look at the situation and he said, "I think I can help." Right. And he grabbed his wheels of steel and he headed to the top of the NBC building at Rockefeller Plaza.
Right.
And he set up with a camera.
Okay.
And he addressed the people and he played a new song. Now, this is David Guetta, French DJ, in the middle of a national race riot in America. Okay. With a solution for everybody.
Let's go.
The world is going through difficult times, and America too, actually. And I made a special record.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah. And then he just starts dancing. Just dancing to the music going,
Martin Luther I've done King's it. Famous wow. speech.
I've done it.
No.
Now, if it was a Pepsi commercial, it would have cut to the riots and they were all dancing along and the police would be making out with the protesters. Yeah. But as it was, people died.
And still, people were on fire
and
jumping through windows. Hey, politics is a shambles all over the world, but we here still know how to do it properly. And my favourite bit of footage came today. It was a presser from Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, in New South Wales, and he's making a very important policy announcement on some guy's front lawn. Here's how the action unfolded when the owner of the house found out. This went live to air.
10,000 Australians.
Everyone get off the grass, please.
Sure. Let's just move back for a minute.
Hey, guys, I've just reseeded that.
Yeah, please stop the thing.
Sorry, man.
It's all good. Thanks. And I was talking about the first home loan deposit thing.
Now, there it is.
That should go viral, shouldn't it?
Compare that to Donald Trump, who's gassing people on his front lawn. To make way for him to get to a church across the road. And then we've got a bloke going, "Hey, mate, I've just reseeded that."
Yeah, but that's ScoMo. ScoMo handled it so well. It could only have been
really
better if he said, "And I am here to reseed the economy."
Yeah, that's true.
I'm here to reseed the post-COVID economy.
And, of course, the guy had no shoes on and was wearing tracky decks. Another good point about life
Charlie,
in Australia.
We should
today.
Have been talking to you before the weekly, but we will promo.
Good on you,
Charlie. How about we promo the weekly well ahead of its time? Time for next week.
Only five more sleeps. Eight. Six more sleeps. And we're back. Good on you, Charlie.
Always great, guys. Cheers.
Charlie,
thank
you for joining us. Coming up, Gone Wild. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Nick and Jane. Gone Wild.
I love this segment. It's a Thursday staple, and it's full of a goog as always. This is the big one. I can't believe what I'm reading here. An alligator, rumoured to have been Hitler's pet, has died in a Moscow zoo.
Oh. How's that? How old can this alligator be?
84 years old. 84? Yep, that's a good innings for Adolf's alligator. Hmm. The alligator, called Saturn.
Good name.
Lived a full life in three different countries before he succumbed to old age. As one of the survivors of World War II bombing in the Berlin Zoo in 1943 and was moved to Moscow Zoo, I'd say when the Russians invaded, probably to get Hitler's alligator.
Yes.
And back he went. And you can tell it's Hitler's alligator because if you have a look at the alligator, he's got one of those tiny little mohs just above his
That differentiates
his
top lip. From all the rest.
And at the zoo, he used to goose step around his pen.
With his little feet.
How is that?
Wow.
Hitler was like...
That's incredible. Animals are incredible.
Apparently he loved like the exotic animals. He was like German's Joe Exotic. Germany's... He should have had a little skunk hair for his...
Oh, my God.
He likes that. Exotic.
Wouldn't you know that he would have an alligator as a pet?
Got to
go from animals that have no soul, which is an alligator, to... dolphins, who are the most beautiful beings on the planet.
Mammals.
Here we go.
They are beautiful,
intelligent
mammals.
Is this going to be a touching, moving story about stupid dolphin?
No, it made me upset when I first heard about it.
Oh, here we go. Get the sad music out.
So because it's a coronavirus-related story because Barnacles Cafe in Tin Can Bay, which is, you're all right. I'll change my tone of voice. Yeah. Barnacles Cafe and Dolphin Feeding at Tin Can Bay,
yeah,
80 kilometres north of the Sunshine Coast,
yeah,
has been closed due to coronavirus.
Ah, well, what are you going to do? Bad luck, dolphins.
But the dolphins have missed the people and the interaction. So the dolphins have been going to the bottom of the sea and finding treasures. They think they've done something wrong, so they're bringing the treasures to the shore and they're putting them on the deck to say, please love me. What have I done? Please accept me. Here's an old bottle. Here's some beautiful coral.
No. Get stuff, you bottlenose freak.
Stop it. Don't you speak to my dolphins like that.
You know what that is? It's attention seeking. No one's turning up to watch them, and now they're getting all huffy in their dressing rooms.
But they that's what drives them, makes them happy.
They just
want to
show
humans.
Off. Yeah. As I said, that's got sashimi written all over it. Every time I look at a dolphin.
Beg your pardon.
Every time I look at a dolphin, all I see is a beautiful piece of sashimi.
You are horrid. That's horrid.
Could you have battered dolphin? Like battered dolphin.
This is our animal segment. We're talking how much we love animals and stuff.
The reason we have this segment is because we elevate.
Do you not agree, though?
They're not frying a dolphin.
Dolphins and whales.
How much do you think a fillet of fried dolphin would cost? Would Dave be able to buy
it? I would never spend that money.
The family pack of dolphins.
Too much for a bit
too
of
much. Yeah. What's that? For bottlenose?
That is a shock. All right. I've got a story, but this is another incredible story.
I'll have the porpoise. I prefer porpoise to dolphin.
I know you're being silly.
Because the porpoise at least.
You're an animal lover. Don't be ridiculous.
Do you know Hitler had a dolphin?
Did he?
Had a little moustache.
He
did.
Wow.
Hey, now you like this story, I know.
I love this story.
Fire
because
away.
It makes
Do you
me laugh.
Bowl
because
it
it's
in.
A bungled story of sorts. Okay. We know that pigeons are used, homing pigeons are used to do that.
Because they return.
They send messages.
That's what
they
do.
Return. And of course, in the war, they were very useful with the Allied forces.
Yeah.
And the pigeons went off and they delivered secret spy messages. All right. Well, Pakistan might be a bit on edge, I think they're being spied on.
Is this up around Kashmir, I'm guessing, is
right.
it?
Yes, it is. The Kashmir police on Thursday found a pigeon, which was caught on suspicion of being a Pakistani spy bird. A senior police official saw the bird because it had bright pink on it and mysterious numbers.
Okay. That's highly suspicious.
Yeah. Highly suspicious. They think, what kind of crazy code is this? Here's the news story to explain what happened.
In other news, a Pakistani man has urged the Indian Prime Minister to return his pigeon, currently being held for charges of spying. The man, who lives just 4 kilometres away from the border, says he flew his pigeons to celebrate Eid festival. Police say they're working to decipher a code inscribed on a ring attached to the bird, but the man says it's his phone number.
Oh, my God.
That's all it was. Is that your Pakistani phone going
off?
Have you cracked the code? What the hell?
I don't know how that happened. Do you eat pigeon? Bit gamey, isn't it, Jane? You would have had a pigeon.
I don't eat it. I've never had pigeon in my life.
You reckon you've eaten it in all the finest French restaurants in the world, and you're telling me you haven't had pigeon?
I might have had a nibble.
Do you know what the French do? They have it in a bucket like Kentucky. That's what I think. Hey, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's more from Gone Wild. I love animals.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And this is our Gone Wild segment as well.
We are right in the middle of it. So, we're all looking forward to getting out of isolation, aren't we?
Something's been on my mind, though, Mick.
Fire away.
Well, I'm worried about all the dogs and cats, well, mainly dogs, who've been, because cats don't care about anyone, but the dogs have had this special treat of having people around for months.
Mm.
How do you prepare your dog that you're going to go?
Pets have suddenly gone, hey, hang on a minute, is this going to be the new normal? So they're all loving it. So when we start to go back to work, we actually need to wean them off us. Because there can be some quite serious consequences for our dogs particularly, who find it really hard when we go back to full-time work.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because when you think about it, we'll always remember this and go, do you remember coronavirus?
Yeah.
Remember the scare? It'll be like remembering the war.
That's right.
How bad it was. For dogs, it'll be the greatest memory of their life. Dad, tell us again about the coronavirus.
Spend time with us.
Well, kids, let me tell you, get around.
You know what's gone through
the roof? The family was at home 24 hours a day. Oh,
that's
Dad.
That's true.
Yes,
pet,
and they never
pet
left.
Pet sales, not only sales of animals, but products of pets, pet beds. I got my snoozer bed. That was people have just gone and got all these
the accessories,
products. All the accessories that you can get, and they've been delivering them online. And that is an industry that's gone bonkers because people have. But you must start now, leaving home for a few minutes at a day, then come back. Just let them know you're coming
back.
Let
them go cold turkey. Just go for the weekend, see what happens. You'll be right. Hey, you know what this is going to do? I might open up a possibility for a creative young man if you want to get a dumping service going.
Oh.
Where
you're in a very strange anti-animal mood today.
A really,
this is not like you.
Like a Jim's mowing, Jim's dumping, no, where you come
this
round.
This is not like you.
And this
well,
is
no, I can't. I can't. How can I condone that?
This just is not the tone.
That's rubbish.
I see an opening in the market, you know.
For dumped orphan pets.
Jim's put down service. You know what I mean? Where you just come round and you...
We all
have that back.
Have a go at me, Dave. At least I haven't killed a cow.
Okay, you don't need to bring that up.
You told us when we were talking about this next story.
Well, it almost killed me.
What happened? Tell us, Dave.
This was years ago. I was up near Byron Bay when I was living up there. It was a dark night. Mm-hmm. So we're coming around a bendy road. This is in the country, of course. And standing in the middle of the road as I'm doing 80, mind you, in my car.
You're in the gets?
Nah, this is back when I had a cool car, like a VL. It was a VL Commodore back in the day.
Had
a turbo button and all.
All right, let it go, man.
So I come round and there's the cow standing in the middle of the road, and I clipped it as I've done.
When you say clipped it, like,
well, I've hit it in my car.
Have you clipped it like head on, like bang, like a light. Like...
I've gone sideways in my car, and the guy said, had it been like the rainy season or the wet season, you would have drowned. Your car would have gone into this big marsh. So the cop had to shoot it in front of me, and put it down.
What?
It was a horrific night.
No, they needed Jim's put down service. Wow, well, that's an uplifting story. No, and I'm the bad guy. At least I haven't killed a...
Well, I didn't kill
a mother
it
and its baby.
Yeah, I was... Hey, okay.
Well, I told you my
can
our
you
story.
Eat... Why aren't you vegan after
be,
that?
Shouldn't I?
Hey, well, I told you my story when we were touring and we hit a kangaroo.
Right.
And one of the comedians who was driving, Darren Casey.
Right.
And we were driving at sundown, a kangaroo's come out, and it's gone to hit our windscreen.
Yeah.
Right, and just as it's coming onto our windscreen, I thought, we're all done here. Mm. It's like a huge, big red. At the last minute, Dave flipped on the windscreen wipers. And Darren Casey,
to combat the
whole room was just going to be swept off the...
Yeah, they're pretty heavy.
Those things make an impact. So,
well, that's not happy, and this is not happy because it happened. A man was killed by an attack of herd cows in Yorkshire. He's in Yorkshire going for a walk with his wife.
You'll be complaining about that. Was he killed? Was he killed?
Yes, he was killed. And I've just not heard of cows being attacked by a herd of cows because to me they're just so loving and beautiful.
Yeah, no, they can dirty up. They can.
Jeez.
Going to Poland, a man is facing a fine for wrestling a bear at a Polish zoo. The reason why he's being fined is for not wearing a face mask. So apparently wrestling the bear in the zoo was fine. But, mate, COVID-19, where...
Don't give the bear any sort of bad...
The rona.
The bear's like isolation because they go into hibernation. Who cares if you got them sick? They love it.
That's
they
true.
Go into hibernation. Yep.
See you in 6 months.
They are ISO kings.
Yeah.
I would love to have a bear because I can't keep a bear, but I think they're the most incredible looking animals to have as a pet. Just a big old bear.
Hey, science news, which I love in this segment. Isaac Newton at one stage proposed curing the plague with toad vomit.
Oh.
Yeah, that apple must have hit him really hard on the head.
How do you get a toad to vomit?
That apple. I don't know. A toad vomit. Don't you vomit when you lick a toad? Have I heard? Don't you get off your chops?
Jesus,
the toad vomit.
Good name for a band, too.
That's the sound they make. As you hold back the hair of a toad.
Toad?
I think we're done. I can't tell.
Well, thank you. And you need to apologise to the animal
take
kingdom,
it all
by
back,
the way.
Too.
Take it back. You don't
we know you don't mean it.
I know you
Jim's
don't.
Jim's put down. Jim's,
no.
Jim's dumping service.
Don't associate Jim with your creepy idea.
Turn your microphone off. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Front bar back on, back for 2020 on Channel 7 tonight.
Oh, tonight, is it?
You're on.
Jeez,
are
get
you
cracking.
Ready?
Who's on? Yeah, do you know who's on?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
Daisy Thomas. Oh,
Daisy Thomas.
You.
Collingwood and Carlton legend. I'm going to introduce him as Carlton legend just to annoy Collingwood
really,
people.
Just to annoy Collingwood people. Well, I would say I'm a celebrity, get me out of here legend.
Well, that's right. He's a huge character.
And Triple M.
Yeah, that's
Triple
right.
Triple M's own Daisy Thomas.
Yeah. Sounds like he's spreading himself a bit thin. Maybe we shouldn't have him on. Like he will be great. I've had a look at the highlights package. It's awesome. By the way, I'm also hosting on Monday the MND special. Now, this is the Big Freeze 6. Myself and one of the greatest women AFL players to ever pull on the boots, Daisy Pearce, will join me. She'll be hosting. I'll be in the co-host chair. And it's because, Jane, the Queen's birthday weekend has traditionally been the home of the Big Freeze. AFL football has come down the slide and the crowd. It's Collingwood,
you've
Melbourne.
Done
and
it.
The crowd.
Looks yeah,
I did.
Great.
I was in the first year. I felt like I was just arriving in a pool bar. That's how I normally do it.
And, that's right. Yeah.
And by the way, those budgie smugglers I wore, if you would like to see them, remember the old bumblebees?
I do.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are now, if you'd like to see them, in the sports museum at the MCG.
They're not.
They are. Next to Bradman's bat and Farlap's heart. Iconic stuff.
Well, and they're doing the challenge a bit different this year, aren't they, Mick? Because there's no game is going to be
correct.
Happening
and,
as
they,
such.
And you can't go. You can't all
you
get
can't
together.
Go.
They can't all go into the same pool. So all the teams decided to do their own and send them in. So we'll be hosting it from the studio. They'll be sending them in, and I'll do the five best sliders in history.
Fantastic.
We've got some guests. We've got some doctors who are going to talk us through MND. This is a scary disease, and Neil Danaher has done so much to Danaher family. It's about $40 million all up raised and 23 directly through the Big Freeze. It's an important day. The beanies are the thing, people.
Yeah.
They are. Buy a beanie. They're about $20. Yep. They look fantastic, by the way. We've got seven for the household here. We're going to put them on. And if you want to find any more information, it's fightmnd.org.au. Yeah. All the info's on that. But Coles and Bunnings.
Well done, guys. You can get them from there.
Get involved. There's also donations. They are more than welcome. You know what? They're cracking the code of this.
It's,
there's so much money being raised, but this is just, I think there's something really exciting about to happen with Australian researchers.
He's created something out of nothing, and I think there'll be an exciting announcement as well from the government who've traditionally on the day chipped in something. I'll be very surprised if they don't. But it's a community thing, and everyone's embraced it. Mm. Get along. Get your beanies out. It's great to see. Wow, awesome. What a legendary man, and what a great cause for you, for awareness and for money. Get involved.
Big Free 6, fightmnd.org.au. It's Kennedy Moore.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Tonight, the front bar is returning to Channel 7.
I'm heading off there now. I'm feeling a bit nervous. It's been a while.
No,
hopefully, remember how it all goes.
An old pro.
No audience as always. It'll just be a few of the crew trying to get
a laugh
out of them.
We'll be laughing on the couch. We'll be laughing at home.
Sam Pang, Andy Maher, and Mick Molloy.
That's it. So we might have to put some crowd noises in.
Okay.
Do you think? So, like they're doing with the soccer.
Lots of laughs for me and Sam, and maybe a few boos for Andy. Just to make him feel
That'll
more
be great.
Comfortable. Now, have you settled down? I can believe it's funny.
I'm so excited.
When Darryl Braithwaite came in, you forget he was like a superstar sex symbol.
Or poster boy.
Earliest.
Yeah,
and
King of Pop.
You're one thing, but Jill Goode,
who
works on the Rush Hour here,
beautiful Jill,
came in and she was still bright red and flushed. And going, oh my God, even the thought of talking to Daryl.
What happened to that today? She'd be arrested. Yes. I don't know. But, actually, it was pretty illegal breaking into people's rooms.
Breaking into rooms, changing out of a school uniform at a train station. That would get you arrested.
Daryl was a bit disappointed to hear that she changed out of her school uniform.
I know. But that whole era of what you would call groupies and stuff, and it's just unbridled joy.
Yeah. I think Harry Styles must go through that, though. I mean,
I get a bit of it.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah. Amazing. Be careful tonight after front bar when you finish.
The over 70s.
Phew, yeah.
I beg your pardon, Dave. What was that?
No, I forget.
Where's your
yellow card, Dave?
All right.
I'm very thin. Okay.
All right. Have a good night tonight.
Over the Fred Flintstones crack. Okay.
Have a good night tonight, Fred. I mean,
well done.
I nearly caught you, Fred.
Can't find it. You're Dave.
There it is.
That's it.
Send
me in my office.
Hey,
tomorrow.
Yes.
That is.
Denise Scott.
Snap.
Great.
Clown of the Week. Plus, we're giving away that $10,000 Temper mattress.
Oh, baby.
That'll be happening tomorrow. Friday's Kennedy Molloy.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Molloy.